Caldrach stood before Caravash, shivering despite the heat. Whatever lay behind the narrow eye-slit of that huge helmet seemed to flay Galdrach of his confidence and worldliness, until he was once more a boy of 7, summoned to his father's study to explain why he was such a disappointment to the family. Kerivash's helmet gave a creak as it tilted slightly to one side. "We now have the amount of dust that the plan requires." "Finally," Galdrach sighed. "So how do we get you into the palace?" A man in full armor would never be allowed in, and Kerivash had refused to consider the possibility of removing any part of it, even for the few moments needed to allow the guards to see who he was. "You need not concern yourself with that matter. It is important, however, that my horse be within the walls of the palace."
"Your horse?"
"Yes."
"How in all the burning hells are we supposed to get a horse into Rindravach Palace?"
"You ride him up to the gate and tell the stable hand to stable him."
"Ride? A horse? In Mulcahlin?"
"Yes."
"No."
"No?"
"How many horses have you seen on the streets?" Galdrach asked.
"I have spent very little time on the streets."
"You could walk around all day and not bump into one.
If you do see one, it'll almost certainly be pulling a cart full of heavy goods, not carrying a rider.
I'm not sure the palace even has a stable."
Kerivash was silent for a moment. "A possibility occurs to me. It is customary, is it not, on the occasion of the succession ball, for the electors each to present the Governor-General with a lavish gift?"
"It is."
Galdrach usually told one of his secretaries to take care of it. "What could be more lavish than a horse in a city that has none?"
"I don't think you understand," said Galdrach. "The reason we don't have horses here isn't because we can't afford them. It's because we've no room for them. The streets are too narrow."
"My horse is one of the finest in the Empire," said Kerivash, "if not the world. He is easily worth 1,000 hochats."
"I'm sure he is, but he's of no use to the Governor-General. It'd be like giving him, I don't know, a stack of bricks or a bale of cotton."
"Are the gifts of the other electors of any use to him? Bricks and cotton have more practical value than large jewels and fine silks."
"The gifts aren't supposed to be practical," said Galdrach.
"If a horse is very impractical in Mulcahlin, why not give him a horse?"
"We can't. I can't explain why, we just can't."
He paused, glowering at Kerivash.
"Could we smuggle him in?"
"All the entrances are heavily guarded or inaccessible to a horse." Galdrach stared up at the rafters, his fists involuntarily clenching. To have come so near to his goal after so much expense and humiliation, only to fail over such a ridiculous obstacle.
Kerivash spoke.
"Pardon," said Galdrach, shaking his head.
"I said, how do you intend to travel from your house to the palace on the evening of the ball?"
"Personal taxi," said Galdrach, "like I always do."
"You will ride my horse there."
Galdrach's mouth hung open for several heartbeats.
"I'll do no such thing."
"There is no other way to bring him into the palace."
"The entire city will laugh at me."
"They would not dare," said Kerivash. Metal grated on metal as he clenched a fist.
"Then you don't know much about the average Mulcahlin resident and what he thinks of his rulers. The city was so noted for its lack of respect for authority that elsewhere in the Empire, the insubordinate peasant from Mulcahlin was a stock character in theatre."
"This is what you will do," said Kerivash. "When you return home, you will let it be known that you have purchased a horse, a fine black stallion. I will have him delivered to your house this evening. That will give the citizens time to become accustomed to the idea. On the day of the succession ball, you will instruct members of your household to stand on the corners of the route, those being the places where the horse will have to move most slowly, and therefore the places where the people will have the best opportunity to see you and him. You will tell your people to cheer enthusiastically when they see you. If they do it properly, the rest of the crowd will catch their fervor, and word of your triumphant approach will spread along the route.
And if they do it badly, the city will be laughing at me until the end of the century."
With an exasperated sigh, he added,
"The ball's in 2 days, and I've never even ridden a horse."
"Then you have 2 days to learn,"